Tonight, an intensifying FBI manhunt as a package bomber strikes again.
We are clearly dealing with what we expect to be a serial bomber at this point.
A city in fear with a killer on the loose. Facebook under fire, its stock plunging amid stunning allegations of a Trump campaign-linked data firm misusing the private information of millions of Facebook users. And tonight, bombshell undercover video. The data firm's CEO brags he's willing to use dirty tricks. A tragedy in Arizona. A woman struck and killed by a self-driving Uber car. The company immediately suspending all autonomous vehicle testing nationwide as the fatal crash raises new questions about safety. A mysterious death in paradise. An American teenager vanishes during a school trip in Bermuda. Investigators searching for answers. And hours from the first day of spring, another monster snowstorm is closing in from D.C. to New York to Boston as a major threat of tornadoes has the South on high alert.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. A major American city is targeted tonight by a serial bomber. Officials in Austin, Texas, now confirming that a bomb that detonated last night, injuring two men, is in fact connected to three other explosions in recent weeks, two of them deadly. It's believed the latest device was detonated when the victims inadvertently walked onto a tripwire. The attacks have left Austin on edge, sending neighborhoods into lockdown and prompting a surge of calls about suspicious packages and other tips as authorities try to understand the motive. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in Austin with the latest.
Tonight, police in Austin in a frantic search for answers after the city's fourth mysterious explosion. You can hear it on this surveillance video. A bomber now getting bolder.
We are clearly dealing with what we expect to be a serial bomber at this point.
But this time was different. This bomb was left on the side of the road, possibly triggered by a tripwire.
With this tripwire, this changes things. It's more sophisticated. It's not targeted to individuals.
Two men in their 20s seriously injured.
Engine 17, a reported explosion.
The entire neighborhood placed on lockdown.
We heard a loud explosion inside our house, and we live about a half mile away.
The latest blast happening at 8:32 p.m., barely 6 hours after the police chief made this urgent personal plea directly to the bomber.
We want to understand what brought you to this point, and we want to listen to you.
There have now been four explosions in Austin this month. The previous bombs, devices made to look like mail deliveries, quietly left on doorsteps. 17-year-old Draylen Mason and 39-year-old Anthony House were killed.
The bomber's progressing. He's feeling extremely powerful now. He's got the city on edge, and he's reveling in the fear that he's producing.
Fear that has taken hold of this neighborhood.
That's why this is so unusual.
This man, who didn't want us to use his name, heard this latest explosion right near his home.
How worried are you that there could be another explosion?
Very worried. Yeah, I think the entire neighborhood is on edge. All of Austin, I think, is on edge.
This is now a massive federal investigation with about 500 FBI and ATF agents working the case. Authorities have now raised the reward for any information leading to an arrest to $115,000. Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, we can only imagine the anxiety there. Thanks. A tragic accident in Arizona is raising new questions about the safety of self-driving cars as their testing becomes a lot more frequent on American roads. A self-driving Uber car struck and killed a pedestrian, the first Uber accident of its kind, prompting the company to halt all autonomous car testing nationwide. Here's NBC's national correspondent Miguel Almaguer.
A 49-year-old woman was struck and killed in this intersection in Tempe, Arizona. Police say she was not using the crosswalk when hit by a self-driving Uber like this one, undergoing testing. Investigators say the car was in autonomous mode, with a safety driver behind the wheel.
Our investigation did not show at this time that there were significant signs of the vehicle slowing down.
This is the first pedestrian death by an autonomous vehicle on a public road. Today, Uber suspending testing of self-driving vehicles in Tempe, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Toronto. The company saying, "Our hearts go out to the victim's family. We're fully cooperating with Tempe police."
We are definitely moving much too quickly in terms of getting these things on the road in a location where you have pedestrians, where you have bicyclists, where you have people pushing their children in strollers.
With the NTSB set to investigate, Uber self-driving vehicles are touted by the company as safe.
No matter their surroundings, these vehicles never get distracted.
While self-driving Ubers have been involved in accidents like this one in Tempe last year, caused by another vehicle, this is the first fatality. But will it put the brakes on what's described as the car sharing of the future? Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Tonight, tens of millions are at risk of severe storms and a tornado outbreak across the south from Nashville down to Jacksonville. And that same system will develop into another nor'easter, taking aim from D.C. to Boston. A monster snowstorm right at the start of spring. Al Roker is monitoring all again. Here we go again.
That's right. Spring starts tomorrow, Lester, 12:15. And right now, we've got tornado watches for 6 million people, winter weather advisories for 65 million, including winter weather warnings. Right now, 21 million people at risk. Four strong storms, long track tornadoes, especially overnight, and that's the most dangerous time we can see them. Plus, ahead of this system, as low pressure develops, a secondary low develops along the coast, and that brings with it more snow. Snow from Washington up to Boston, depending on when it falls. Now, Washington will be at nighttime. Boston will be at nighttime. New York during the day. So the snowfall totals right now look like anywhere from 6 to 8 to maybe even 12 inches of snow, but that may not be what ends up on the ground. It may be what falls, but because of the angle of the sun and melting, we may not be that bad off. The worst places, Lester, I think Washington, D.C., Boston as well. In between, not quite so bad.
All right, Al Roker. Al, thanks very much. Facebook took a major hit on Wall Street today, losing over $40 billion in market value after the revelations that Cambridge Analytica, a company tied to the Trump campaign, allegedly collected data from tens of millions of Facebook profiles, all in the run-up to the 2016 election. NBC Business correspondent Jolene Kent has more on the fallout.
Tonight, Facebook stock tanking, dropping nearly 7% after allegations that data firm Cambridge Analytica secretly harvested the personal information of 50 million unsuspecting Facebook users.
They are not just a social network. They are also an information battle space.
Whistleblower Christopher Wiley helped found Cambridge, which later was brought on to help the Trump campaign. The firm, hired by Jared Kushner, who oversaw the digital operation, and by Brad Parscale, who's now running the Trump 2020 re-election efforts.
It's really important that Americans understand what has happened with their data, their private information.
Starting in 2014, Cambridge Analytica funded a personality test on Facebook and paid people to take it. This allowed the company to gather personal information from participants' Facebook feeds. But what users didn't know, the company was also collecting data about their Facebook friends. The alleged goal: influenced the views of the American electorate. In hidden camera video from our British partner ITN Channel 4, a company executive told a reporter posing as a prospective client about the company's edge in politics.
It's no good fighting an election campaign on the facts, because actually it's all about emotion.
Another executive brags about the lengths they would be willing to go for a client.
Send some girls around to the candidate's house. We have lots of history of things.
Tonight, Cambridge Analytica denies misusing Facebook data and says, "We entirely refute any allegation that Cambridge Analytica or any of its affiliates used entrapment, bribes, or so-called honey traps for any purpose whatsoever." Facebook, which also owns Instagram, banned Cambridge Analytica from its platform and hired a digital forensics firm to investigate, saying, "We remain committed to vigorously enforcing our policies to protect people's information." Amid new calls for more regulation of social media companies.
We're seeing the beginning of the breakup of big tech. Big tech has not been held to the same scrutiny as the rest of corporate America.
Privacy experts say users should be aware that every like, post, or photo can reveal private information about your location, your preferences, and your political leanings. And all that could be used for targeting. Lester.
All right. Jolene Kent tonight. Thank you. President Trump today stepped up his attacks on the special counsel's Russia investigation after publicly calling Robert Mueller out for the first time. And now the president is adding an attorney to his team who has pushed a conspiracy theory that the FBI and Justice Department are framing Mr. Trump. NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker has the story.
Tonight, President Trump staying silent on the critical question, does he want special counsel Robert Mueller fired, just 2 days after his personal attorney called for an end to the investigation.
Should Mueller be fired?
White House lawyer Ty Cobb insists the president isn't trying to get rid of Mueller, but Mr. Trump is sharpening his attacks, today blasting the investigation as a total witch hunt with massive conflicts of interest, and over the weekend repeatedly calling the special counsel out by name for the first time on Twitter, a tirade prompted by the firing of former deputy FBI director Andrew McCabe, ousted days before he was set to retire for what investigators called a lack of candor in answering questions about his role in the investigation into the Clinton Foundation. McCabe says he's being targeted as a way to undercut Mueller. Tonight, stern warnings for the president from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle.
President Trump is acting guilty as hell going after Mueller.
The president would be making a serious mistake in getting rid of Bob Mueller.
And now, Mr. Trump is beefing up his legal team, hiring former federal prosecutor Joseph DeGeneva. DeGeneva has a reputation for bare-knuckle tactics, including endorsing the idea the president is being framed, telling Fox News in January.
Make no mistake about it, a group of FBI and DOJ people were trying to frame Donald Trump of a falsely created crime.
Legal analysts say a tough approach can backfire.
It's a bad idea for the subject of an investigation to criticize the investigative team. He could very easily and accidentally say something that hurts him and hurts his case.
In a 1997 op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, Joseph DeGeneva weighed in on former President Bill Clinton's legal troubles, saying, quote, the nation could conceivably benefit from the indictment of a president. The founders created a presidency, not a monarchy. Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House. Thanks. President Trump today revealed his long-awaited plan to combat the country's deadly opioid epidemic. He unveiled the details in New Hampshire, one of the state's hardest hit by the crisis. Among the tougher measures, the president proposed giving drug traffickers the death penalty. Let's get more from NBC senior national correspondent Kate Snow in our continuing series, One Nation Overdosed.
In places like Derry, New Hampshire, they're hungry for a new plan. With overdoses every 2 or 3 days and most deaths here linked to the lethal drug fentanyl, Chief Ed Garone has had enough.
I think those people that sell fentanyl, I mean, it's akin to opening a dance room, ballroom floor and firing a weapon into the crowd.
The president today focusing on punishment, calling on Congress to toughen sentencing guidelines for fentanyl traffickers.
If we don't get tough on the drug dealers, we're wasting our time. And that toughness includes the death penalty.
What about the death penalty?
I don't know if we should spend a lot of energy on that. I think meaningful sentencing will help.
Also in the White House plan, reducing the flow of illicit drugs, including online sales, cutting opioid prescriptions by one-third within 3 years, expanding access to treatment, asking Congress to allow Medicaid to pay for residential rehab. In the crowd today, Susan Markovitz. Her son Chad started using pills in eighth grade. At 25, he died of a heroin overdose.
It just leaves an amazing hole in your heart.
She wishes he had better treatment options.
There's only so many recovery centers, and if they can't get funding, and they have to shut their doors, we're going to be way worse than we ever were.
The White House has called for $6 billion in spending, including an education campaign.
Spending a lot of money on great commercials showing how bad it is.
Alexa Lee Wanzer, a recovering heroin addict, voted for Mr. Trump, but is skeptical.
We already did the war on drugs, and it didn't work.
One thing everyone agrees on, too many lives have been lost. Kate Snow, NBC News, Derry, New Hampshire.
We are learning new details about the deadly tragedy during a Cirque du Soleil show in Tampa over the weekend, an acrobat falling to his death as the crowd looked on in horror. Tonight, we're seeing new video from inside the Big Top that caught the horrifying moment on camera. Here's NBC's Kerry Sanders.
It was only the second time high-flying acrobat Yann Arnaud had tried this move in front of an audience. A video captured inside the tent appears to show the veteran Cirque du Soleil performer lose his grip and then plummet head first to the ground. Emergency crews treated the 38-year-old within moments.
Arno rushed to the hospital, later died. Witnesses were horrified.
When he wasn't moving, we were kind of all like, you know, oh my God. So people started praying and crying.
Hours before his death, Arno, in a chilling Instagram post, wrote, "It's time to go for it."
Tragically, among those here to watch Jan Arno's performance, his wife and one of their two young daughters.
There was a lot of emotion, a lot of sadness. He was one of our most experienced acrobats.
Federal investigators are examining the straps, video of the incident, and the performers' exhausting schedules. This deadly accident is not the first. Cirque du Soleil lost performers in 2013 and in 2009. Tonight, management says they'll leave it up to the performers to determine if and when the show will go on. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Tampa.
Seven fallen American heroes have made the final journey back home. The flag-draped remains of all the U.S. service members killed in a chopper crash in Iraq last week arrived at Dover Air Force Base early this morning. Vice President Pence was there to pay his respects. The chopper went down Thursday after apparently hitting a power line. Still ahead tonight, mystery in paradise. An American college student and rugby player found dead after suddenly vanishing on a team trip. Police are not ruling out foul play. Also, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a major milestone for a beloved TV classic. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? We're back now with a mystery in paradise and a college sports trip turned tragic. An American student found dead after vanishing from a popular tourist area in Bermuda. Now his family is searching for answers and investigators are revealing new clues about his disappearance. Here's NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Tonight, investigators in Bermuda trying to unravel a mystery. What happened to a 19-year-old American college student found dead on the popular tourist island this afternoon? Police say his body was found in a moat at Fort Prospect, an old military camp.
Foul play is not ruled out right now. The forensic officers are there.
St. Joseph's University freshman Mark Dombrowski was there for a rugby tournament when he disappeared early Sunday morning after a night with teammates at a local bar and restaurant. Surveillance tapes show him half a mile from the bar, the last time he is seen alive.
CCTV footage now indicates that Mark was seen alone at 1:09 a.m.
His family, who flew from Pennsylvania after his disappearance, saying what they saw on the tapes was a young man who appeared to be in pain from a shoulder injury and eager to get home.
He wasn't in a celebratory kind of mood. He wanted to get back.
Police say their initial investigation does not show he was intoxicated, and they aren't saying how he died. What was supposed to be time on an island paradise.
We dearly love our son. We cherish our son.
Now, a family's nightmare. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News.
We'll take a short break, and then coming up next, one of the stars of Sex and the City says she's ready for a new role in politics. 4 years, it was a hot spot for teens and a staple at malls across America. But Claire's, the jewelry chain that pierced the ears of millions of kids, has fallen on hard times and filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The chain says stores will remain open as it restructures its debt, confident it will emerge from bankruptcy later this year. Tonight, former Sex and the City star Cynthia Nixon says she's running for New York governor, challenging the incumbent Andrew Cuomo in the Democratic primary. Nixon has been politically active for years in liberal circles and has close ties to New York City's Mayor Bill de Blasio. When we come back, the big TV milestone, 50 years since Fred Rogers invited us all to be his neighbor. Finally tonight, 50 years after his show's debut, there is a whole new wave of Mr. Rogers mania. A documentary coming this summer, a postage stamp, and soon a movie starring Tom Hanks. So on the eve of what would have been Mr. Rogers' 90th birthday, Harry Smith takes us back to his neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine?
Mr. Rogers was a culture warrior. To him, innocence was sacred. For small children, his program was the safest of safe places.
Hey, fish. You. I like.
Rogers provided a kinder, gentler alternative to cartoons and goofy kid shows. But baby food, it was not. Rogers tackled tough topics like divorce.
But of course, it wasn't their fault.
And death.
And when she died, I cried.
And coping with violence.
You'll always find somebody who's trying to help.
Thank you for coming to our neighborhood.
His widow, Joanne. We spoke at the Heinz History Center in Pittsburgh. As visitors realized who she was, they wanted hugs.
Oh, we grew up on him.
We have this image of Fred on TV. Was he that guy in real life?
Yes, he was. He'd rather use the time that you had together to talk about something that was important to you.
Be we child or grown up, the world can be a bewildering, even frightening place. Joanne is not surprised by the resurgence and interest in her husband's work.
People can like you exactly as you are.
People are really needing to hear his messages.
Please, won't you be
my neighbor?
Harry Smith, NBC News, Pittsburgh.
What a great trip down memory lane. I think Charlie was the big favorite in our household. That is nightly news for this Monday. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thanks for watching and good night.